It's not part of me anymore. I left that in my past. But I
Cool.
was really bad when I
Oh,
was
yeah.
younger. I faked a heart attack in fourth grade to get out of answering a question in front of the class. I
Nice.
fell to the fucking ground and grabbed my heart. Like I swear to
Nice.
God. I couldn't talk to girls. I had panic attacks in front of my extended family at the dinner table when speaking to them. It was
Sounds like this guy.
What's going on? Sorry, he just touched my foot and I just waved this to him. What did you say? You
It's panic attacks, dude.
Panic. Oh yeah, I used to get those when I was a teen.
And we're not live, but we're recording.
We are. It's well, on.
It's on. Like Donkey Kong, as they say. Donkey Kong?
Who says that?
I don't know. Kids. Kids these days. They're always in the arcade playing Kong.
Yeah, playing Donkey Kong and Pac-Man.
Yep.
Tetris.
You got it.
Yeah, man.
Today we have a very special guest, Nick Hawk. Welcome to the pod.
What's happening, guys?
Can you give our nothing? Thank you for asking. Can you give our audience a rundown of who you are?
Sure. My name's Nick Hawk. I'm originally from Wisconsin. I wrestled in college. Joined the Air Force for 4 years. After the Air Force, I decided to pursue dreams of entertainment. Moved to California. Studied acting for about 5 years, mainly auditioning classes. I liked them a lot. Improved my confidence a lot. And around the time when my confidence developed, I started to know the town and networking, and everything was going good. I was getting callbacks to major movies, six-figure paying national commercials. The TV show called Gigolos comes along.
Yeah.
And all my representation, everybody tells you not to do reality shows, not to do adult shows, and it was both. But what is a starring role on original Showtime series, expected to go 6 seasons. And it was an opportunity I couldn't say no to. So I decided to do that. We filmed it in Vegas. I moved there in between season 2 and 3. I'm also a musician. I have 16 singles released right now. I have 6 music videos on YouTube. I also released a book about 2 years ago called Nick Hawk's 100 Kicks in the Ass, A Guide to Gaining Confidence and Reaching Your Full Potential. And I'm a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt and competitor as well. World champion, national champion, pan champion.
Damn. So you could kick all of our asses at the same time, pretty much.
Probably.
Let's find out. Brandon, attack him.
I don't know. In this little room, it would probably be difficult. If I had a bigger area, maybe.
This would be challenging. And Nolan skateboarded once.
Pretty scrappy, as a so, kid. You know. I can take a blow, and I can blow them good.
Whoa.
Whoa. Okay.
What?
Huh?
All right.
And somebody with the trucks in the back of the head is a... That's,
yeah.
That's a move that'll put somebody out.
Don't so, I know it.
So I've watched Gigolos, big fan, fascinating show, and that's about being an escort.
It is. It's more of a comedy than anything, thing, though. It's funny. We're, it's goofy. The main feedback we got from Showtime after we kind of established the tone was keep it fluffy and light.
Yeah.
And we goof off a lot, but yeah, it's me and 4 other guys. We lost a few other the way along the way and picked up a couple other ones, but it's us just hanging out in Las Vegas, you know, talking about, you know, guy stuff and dates and, fucking off. And then every episode has 1 or 2 dates with actual clients. It is one of the realest reality shows out there. The clients are real. They were hard to get the first couple seasons, but after that, a lot of people wanted to come on the show and book us as well. Shows a couple dates. So a lot of the clients, the last few seasons, you know, they're fans and they wanted to book me, but my rates went up and I only do longer bookings now. So a lot of them couldn't afford that. So a chance to go on a date with me, they'd get to come on the show. So that's the way we got a lot of the clients. So they were legit clients and everything. And it's a real situation, a real date, and possible real sex situation as well.
Yeah,
so
nice.
That's
wild. How'd you get into being a gigolo?
When I left the Air Force and moved to California, I had a friend when I was 16. He was 17 and he was stripping. And he's making all this money, He was buying blow. He bought a truck, nice. Getting girls. He moved out early when he was still in high school. He got his own place and everything. I kind of envied that a little bit because I was very broke growing up. My parents had very little money. And it was in the back of my mind. And when I moved to California, I decided to dive in. I knew it helped with entertainment, my confidence and everything as well. And when I moved out, I called one of the top companies. I lied to him and said I had experience when I didn't, but I knew it helped me get in the door. He invited me to a mail review that week. I went to it, and the main act, I'll never forget him. It was a cop act. He was the cockiest douchebag in the fucking world. At the time, that's what I wanted to be, though. Like, I envied him so much. I'm like, oh, my God, I want to be that. I didn't know better. And they were fighting. The main act and the owner of the group, it looked like it's been a long going thing. They've been butting heads for a long time. Mm-hmm. 2 days later, I get a call saying he fired him and I'm in for the cop act.
Wow.
Yeah. You made it. The next week I got thrown to the wolves, and then I got all of his bachelorette parties as well. So I was doing 3 to 5 bachelorette parties a weekend. Damn. Like that. And yeah, I threw myself to the wolves for sure. And like I said, I struggled with my confidence a lot, so it was really hard. My first bachelorette party, I did a lap dance for 30 seconds, and I had 59 minutes and 30 seconds where I'm like, now what the fuck do I do? And I blacked out. Apparently it went okay, but I wasn't drinking either. I was so nervous, I blacked out the whole fuck. I can't remember it. It's insane. Like my first couple of auditions too, I was holding a piece of paper and it was shaking so bad I could barely read the piece of paper. Yeah. I couldn't remember my lines or anything. I struggled big time with that. And then I got into, you know, the auditioning classes, which help a lot as well. I highly recommend people to do auditioning classes and improv. Yeah. Auditioning classes, you'll get some sides. You have 30 minutes to look over them. Mm-hmm. And then you're in front of the class with somebody doing this scene. And it's crazy. It's intense. Right. And
yeah, I've done some improv. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, I've gotten super nervous for auditions before. My first time doing stand up, I had like tunnel vision. It almost seemed like I was dreaming or something.
Yeah.
Not a good dream.
No. Just been horrifying. There, man. Been there. That's the reason why I wrote this book too, though, because I've come so long and I know how to work through the process and everything. A lot of my clients actually inspired me to do this book.
Yeah.
A good number of my clients come to me with anxiety issues and confidence issues, or they have a lot of money, so they've invested their time in college and business and building their business and everything, so they haven't had much time to date, or they were married for 20 years, they just got a divorce, and they're like, what the fuck do you do now? You know, so I help a lot of people with that. It really made me dig deep and do a lot of research and reflecting to get some good answers that I put into my book.
That's wild. So did you always have low confidence, or is this low confidence with suddenly being a gigolo and just like, what the fuck am I doing? Or is confidence always been a struggle?
I don't struggle anymore at all. I've found a switch. It's not part of me anymore. I left that in my past. But I was really bad when I was younger. I faked a heart attack in fourth grade to get out of answering a question in front of the class.
Nice.
I fell to the fucking ground and grabbed my heart. Like, I swear to God.
Nice.
I couldn't talk to girls. I had panic attacks in front of my extended family at the dinner table when speaking to them. It was...
Sounds like this guy.
What's going on? Sorry, he just touched my foot and I just waved this to him. What did you say?
Panic attacks, dude.
I used to get those when I was a teen.
Just in front of my extended family at the dinner table.
Oh, yeah?
Talking to like more than like, if there's like 6 people there. Like, yeah, it was horrible. It was horrible. Yeah. You don't know confidence if you're never taught it. My parents had me at a very young age. I'm very anti, you know, kids having kids. I think that's the major problem in the world. I think having children should be regulated.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah, for sure. Like, they allow anybody to have a kid at any age. There's no repercussions. Minimally, if your child has a child, you should have face a serious fine or imprisonment. Like, that that should be a major thing, and it's nothing. Nothing happens if your kid has a kid.
Right.
You know, maybe that would steer some fucking idiots away from, you know, having children before they're ready. You know,
I wish someone would have told Brandon's parents to not mate. Because now we have
my mom tried to have 4 abortions and I survived all of them.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
Abortion survivor.
Yeah. Four times.
On you.
On me. Yeah.
That's a bumper sticker. Man.
Yeah.
Bumper sticker for sure.
So.
Abortion survivor.
Pins. That's your thing. That can be your fucking, that's your shirts now. And like hats and pins.
Yeah. Abortion survivor.
The name of your next special.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's perfect.
Damn, dude. That's incredible.
Yeah. No, man. I can't believe I made it.
That's really special.
speaking to the mic.
No, it's just for you guys.
Oh.
Okay, cool.
Really shy. Really shy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Confidence. I got to read that book.
Confidence. I got to read that book. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So you become a gigolo. Was that horrifying, like your first date? Or was it, a bachelor party?
This was years after getting some confidence and doing hundreds of bachelorette parties and hundreds and hundreds of auditions and everything. So I was building towards it. I left a lot of that worry and concern behind when I started the show. But the first couple seasons, there's a little bit there knowing that tens of millions of people are going to be seeing me naked, you know, in a real date scenario.
Yeah,
like,
right.
What the fuck is more? Where can you go from there? Well, actually, I did top it because I did a sex toy line and I had to get hard in front of three cameras with 30 people watching by myself to get a mold for my dildo that I sold with my sex toy.
Holy shit!
But that's the top. That's the top.
How do you get hard? Like what did you do?
I had to look at a fucking photo with three fucking cameras on me and jerk off in front of everybody. It was ridiculous.
Wow. Holy fuck! That's great.
You guys should try to sell that as merch.
What?
Abort? Your dick shaped boner. Dick shaped boner.
Is there a market for micro penises?
Yeah. Yours?
Micro penis mold.
Yeah, dude.
All right, cool.
Cheaper to make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They charge per inch.
What do they do?
Shipping.
In reality, what do they do with a cock mold?
They made
mold?
A dildo.
Oh, they made a dildo. Okay.
I sold the dildo. It's a replica of me, and it had like an imprint of. I have it tattooed as well. So, and it had like it was the mold. So, like every vein and like it's a perfect replica.
So, are those in like sex stores?
They were. This was about 5 years ago, and they kind of like phased them out a couple years ago. I had a blow up doll. A ridiculous blow-up doll with my real face on it and some of my tattoos and the tattooed penis. But
so you have tattoos on your dick?
One, yeah. The symbiote that I have here. Okay. I have it across here, and then it goes on.
Gotcha. Like and I read that for your clients these days. This might have been an old article. Oh, wait, it might have been in the email I was sent. If your clients lose more than 50 pounds, you get their name tattooed on your body?
Yes, this is, it started with, it's a funny story. One of my clients who struggles most with weight problems, one of my bigger clients, we went to Sedona and...
Great place.
Yeah.
Amazing place. One of my favorite places. Yes. And they have a souvenir place there where they sell a bunch of shit and they have these metal vortex pieces that they sell. And I bought one. And she made a joke. She said, there's a hole in it. So she made a joke and said, you should get that vortex tattooed around your butthole. And I said, if you lose 50 pounds, I'll do it. And she took me up on it. She hasn't done it yet, but I would totally do it. And it got me thinking, maybe this is a way I could, you know, motivate people to lose more weight and motivate my clients to lose weight. And I offered it to about 7 or 8 of them. There's about 20 on the table. And now I do it if they lose 50 pounds. They go back to school and get some form of education, or they do some type of public reading or something to help with their confidence as well. You know, it's something that I'll decide and determine with them. And I have three initials tattooed on me right now. I have one here and two on the back of my arm for three people who lost 50 pounds each.
Wow, nice. Well, I'm going to say here, guys listening and girls, if you do anything positive, Brandon will get your name tattooed on his forehead.
Anything positive?
Yeah.
How do you dictate that? Anything positive at all?
Just text Nolan. You have his number.
Yeah, you have his number.
Nolan released his phone number on our podcast.
He did.
I've gotten a few calls. Nothing too crazy, though. No messages.
I just uploaded it like an hour ago. You got a few calls?
Oh, really? I got a call from somebody from Albany within the last hour. Just I just ignored it. No messages, though. So we'll see. I'm excited. Looking forward to it.
Are you going to change your number or are you just going to keep it the same?
If it goes haywire, I'll change my number. I have no problem with that.
Okay.
It'd be nice to get rid of old contacts anyways.
I was thinking that the other day. I was like, what a great, like a fresh start.
A purge.
Yeah. Just everybody's gone except for the ones that you really need.
Yeah. I feel like my contact list is like hoarding.
Yeah.
You know, like old hoards.
Totally.
Yeah.
I see what you mean.
I don't even know if all these people are still alive in my contact list.
Positive some of them aren't.
I have no clue if they are. Some of them might be dead.
My grandma's in there. So, you know,
she's
in peace.
Oh.
That's a tricky one. Deceased people, do you delete them? Or do you keep
them? Yeah. Yeah, you do.
I've struggled with that. I've struggled with
that. Keep the number in their honor.
I hope they'll call. Right? I hope they get a ghost encounter.
Yeah.
I'll text my dead friends sometimes. Like, hope everything's going well down there.
Down there. You have good friends, in other words.
That's funny. It'd be funny if they got it. Whoa.
Yeah, dude. They're reading it down there.
They get it.
Should do Ouija board one of these days.
Not down there. The ones up there, they do, if you have any up there.
Or maybe texting only exists.
They're busy
hell.
Down there. They're busy. Yeah, they're getting tortured and shit. The ones, they hear it upstairs, though.
Okay, all right.
They have time.
Yeah.
Dramie.
Verizon Wireless up there.
Like, people up there would want to talk to anybody down here anyway, so.
Yeah.
They're the ones who delete everybody. Who
yeah,
the fuck
yeah,
is
yeah.
this texting me?
Yeah.
In my version of heaven?
They delete all the alive people. Yeah.
Yeah.
All the people still living on
this shithole.
Have you ever had a date, gigolo date,
no.
where, no, I never have. This is a lie. I'm sure you get asked this a lot. What happens when the date is very physically unattractive and she wants to have sex?
Nothing's guaranteed.
Right.
I get paid
you can
for
say
my time.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if, you know, prostitution was legal and I offered sexual services for money, I still wouldn't do it.
Okay.
I like how it is now, you know.
Yeah.
I don't share myself with anybody I can't connect and communicate with.
Okay.
So I've never had a client not take care of herself. You know, they always
gotcha.
You know,
okay.
they always take care of themselves. They don't fucking stink or anything.
that would be
not yet. I've been good with that. But more than the ones I've had problems with are the drinkers or people with drug problems or negative attitudes. You know, other than that, you know, things usually go fairly well. If they have a positive, for the most part, you know, they're really excited about this. It's a bucket list thing for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're going on a date with somebody they've been watching on TV for a long time and shit. So they're really excited. They're 99.9% of the time, they're in a great mood and things, you know, go well. But, yeah, like the drugs and drinking could be a problem or just, you know, undeveloped mentalities also.
Yeah.
You know, some people who have had a trust fund their whole life and haven't applied themselves, you know, or have been sheltered or have been scared, have never developed any confidence or scared to go, you know, socialize.
Yeah.
You know, they might struggle with, you know, communicating and I have to be able to connect with somebody. If I'm a very sexual person and everything, but there still needs to be something there. I can't.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't throw myself out there to anybody.
Not me. I'll fuck anything that walks.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, obviously.
I have no self-worth,
yeah.
I don't fuck anything. What was I going to ask? Oh, yeah. Have you had a date that has, like, developed an infatuation with you or fallen in love and kept trying to hit you up?
Yeah, all of them.
Nice. Well said. Touché.
No, I connect with I love my clients to death. I connect with most of them, and it's good things. You know, the in love thing, I don't know if I believe in love anymore. I think being in love is more of an unhealthy infatuation type thing. I love everybody. I like very few people. I like most of my clients.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good. I have to be able to steer it a little bit and set some boundaries myself as well. But,
do they get your phone number?
No.
Okay, that's
no
good.
Contact.
Right.
So, my booking manager, Darren, with CowboysForAngels.com, if you want to check it out, he handles all of that. Contact's not allowed. If it's a longer booking, he might set up a call, and I'll call from a blocked number to discuss what we're doing.
Gotcha.
Yeah, cool.
But, yeah.
Nolan was just typing. That's why I laughed.
Cowboys
Nolan
for
was
what,
just...
again? Where we going?
Cowboys for Angels.
And I can book you there.
.com. No, you can't.
Oh.
Strictly... straight men for straight women.
Ah.
It's the first
dang
male
it.
Escort agency that actually does
surprise,
that.
Surprise, surprise.
Your wife.
I'm a lady. What's up?
You can set up your wife.
Yeah, she needs something.
Yeah. She needs a man.
She needs a man.
At least once or twice.
Only fair, right?
You'll be there. You'll supervise, though. You'll watch.
I'll be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll make sure they have treats.
Is that ever?
I'll bring snacks.
Yeah, bring snacks.
I'll bring oranges and Capri Sun.
Hydrate, after. Guys.
I see a couple wives. Usually the husband will meet me and pay me and we'll have a little talk.
Oh, wow.
Say hi. And he'll be like, you know, I'm trusting you to take care of her. Please show her a good time. She deserves it. And usually it's the most devoted and husbands out there who really care for them. They have a really special bond and relationship.
What's usually the reasoning for that woman to go on a date with you when she's married? Is it like bucket list? Or is it like the man can't please her, the husband?
You know, maybe people who don't believe in monogamy so much. Most of them don't actually see girls, but I think it's healthy for a relationship to do a little exploring outside, especially if you've been married 10, 20 years and, you know, have some deal where you get a girl or you get a guy and I'll get a girl type thing. Right. And yeah, that's fair. And why not? You know, you're safe, use protection and.
Yeah. Are you required to get annual checkups and stuff? STD stuff?
Like no requirement, but I get tested often.
Cool. I got tested recently, guys.
Oh, really?
Got the herp.
Nah, man.
Yep.
Well, it's not completely unexpected. You get it from a toilet seat, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Actually,
don't call her that.
A drinking fountain. Yeah. Don't call her that.
It was good. It was a good joke.
It was all right. I don't have herpes. I have nothing. I thought I might have chlamydia recently. But
I had one of those scares.
Yeah.
Piss and nails. It was when I was in the Air Force. I was briefly married.
All right.
And she worked at the medical facility that you would have to get tested at. And I went in there and got tested. They're not supposed to be able to go into your records to see why you went to the clinic. But she did anyways. I think we were split up at the time, though. And I went in for STD tests. It ended up being a bladder infection. And I took a pill and it was fine, but it was horrendous. And I didn't want to go in there so bad. I waited like a few days to do it, and I couldn't pee anymore. It was fucking like nails. It was horrible. But yeah, and then she dug through my shit, and she's like, why are you getting STD tested? Yeah, I sat on a couple questionable toilet seats.
Denny's toilet seats.
Yeah, I actually got chlamydia once. That was fun. I actually could barely even tell I had anything. It was just peeing felt a little bit weird. So I didn't have anything gross, but I think I know who I got it from, too. Mm. One night stand, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, believe it or not, I didn't know this girl.
Yeah.
But
you didn't know.
It was a good night of premature ejaculating and crying.
It was worth it? Yeah. It was worth chlamydia?
I think it was.
Was it worth chlamydia?
I mean, it's just a shot, right? You just got to get a shot and it goes away? No big deal.
Just a pill, actually.
You should have called her after and been like, hey, you were worth the chlamydia.
Yeah.
She moved. There's your t-shirt.
Yeah.
You were worth the chlamydia.
I'm worth the chlamydia.
Yeah. She moved to Hawaii the next day. Now, what? She had a kid. I'm pretty sure she was rather promiscuous.
Oh, really?
Got pregnant.
What if that's your kid?
It's not. All right.
Does the kid have chlamydia?
Hopefully not.
The kid is named chlamydia. You know a lot about nutrition. I have been napping every day the past 2 weeks. For like 1 to 3 hours. Am I dying?
You're probably dying.
It's a chlamydia.
Damn it.
Yeah. That pill doesn't always clear up chlamydia. And you could live with that for a couple of years. And this. Yeah. What happens is you start taking long naps. And then just out of nowhere you fall and die.
You just die.
Just never wake up.
Yeah. And then everyone deletes you from their contacts. And then you go down to hell.
Go down to hell.
Go down. You wouldn't go to hell. You'd go to purgatory for sure.
That, I'd go to heaven, dude.
Nah, dude. You'd go to, like, purgatory. That's like the waiting room.
Yeah.
For both. And you'd just be in there for the rest of your life reading 1996 editions of Time magazine.
No, napping's okay, but it's probably, you know, not getting enough sleep is catching up with you. The second kick in my book talks about how the importance of sleep, and there's more and more information coming out about it. For a long time, scientists didn't know what happens when we sleep. And I think it's obvious to anybody who puts any thought into or have awareness of your body. You heal when you sleep. That's why you wake up refreshed and good to go. You're fucking healing. The more you sleep, the better. You can't oversleep. So many people have the wrong outlook and saying, I'm going to get more done today if I just sleep 5 hours.
Right.
And you might get more done, but it's the same shit. If you sleep 8, 9 hours, you're going to be more productive. You're going to be more creative. You're going to have better ideas. It's going to be more efficient work, and you're going to be a lot more successful if you sleep longer. That's one of the main things you need to do in life to operate at higher levels.
I agree.
Naps are okay, but it's best to set up a schedule to get, you know, I say if you're training and you're doing everything, you should be mentally as well, training your body physically and mentally, challenging yourself too. You need 9 hours of sleep every night.
Yeah. I have not been exercising or eating right. So that's good.
And a new, I just read another study that suggests, you know, the longer you sleep, the longer you live too. I think it's so fucking obvious though.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why we need a study to tell us that. Like, we heal when we sleep. The more you sleep, the more you heal, the more you rejuvenate, the younger you're going to feel, the better you, the less pain you're going to be in.
I hear people say often, it's like, I only need 4 or 5 hours of sleep and I'm good.
No,
it's I've heard there bullshit. There is a certain gene.
There
like
is
small
one.
Percentage.
That's one in a trillion people, though. But yeah, and everybody thinks they fucking have it and they don't.
Yeah. It says like all you need is 4 to 5 hours with that gene, with that mutation or whatever it is.
Yeah, but there's complications with that as well.
And
but,
I heard on Joe Rogan's podcast, he had a sleep specialist on. Like, if you get under 7 hours, your brain works like 60% as it normally would.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. And if you smoke weed before bed, too.
Yeah, I haven't listened to that one. It's a new one. I've been meaning to listen to that. But yeah, fuck yeah. No, you need to sleep, man. That's the second kick in my book. Fucking sleep. And undisturbed sleep. Don't sleep with your fucking dog. Don't sleep with your spouse either. It's... And I recommend sleeping with earplugs, a fucking sound machine, pitch black and cold. Yeah, you have to do all
rain.
These things.
I use rain.
If you're being woken up throughout the night... Some people go through the whole night without getting a full sleep cycle. A full sleep cycle can be 30 minutes. It's usually a little over an hour, hour and 15, up to an hour and 30. You need about 6 of these to get to get enough sleep to operate at high levels. And people who are sleeping with their fucking dog, or there's noises going on, cars starting, other dogs barking, your spouse moving around. It's really detrimental to sleep with a spouse, even with clients. I don't do it on bookings. We don't sleep in the same beds. I do 2 queen beds. We can snuggle and fool around in one bed, but when it's time to go to bed, it's let's get some good sleep so we're operating, so we have a better time tomorrow. And so few people do that. All I have to say is put a fucking camera on you one night, sleeping with your dog or your significant other, and see how many fucking times you guys move around and disturb each other. And just because you're not waking up to full consciousness doesn't mean you're not... Every time you get disturbed when you're in a sleep cycle, you go back to the beginning, practically.
And so you,
especially with a dog who gets up, and if you watch a camera, then watch it on like fast forward. How many times a dog gets up, moves around, and disturbs you? Like it's insanity. You're operating at less than 60%. You're a fucking zombie, and you're not living life. You're not having any free will thinking. It's this programming that's going on. You're going through the. It's the same habits and bullshit routine, and there's no free thinking. And the goal of life is to be able to establish as much free thinking as possible, have as much control as possible, and be as healthy as possible.
I like it. Sleep, goddammit. How many hours of sleep do you get?
Depends. Last night I had my first bout of insomnia, like, ever, which was weird. I was up until, like, 5 or 6.
Woo!
And it's weird, man. It's a weird feeling to have your body be completely exhausted and your mind just fully awake.
It's the worst.
It's cruel game. But every other day, dude, I pride myself on how much sleep I can get. I get like 8-9 hours of sleep.
Nice.
And that good cutoff. Don't really go over that most times.
You're doing so much better than most people. Most people sell themselves so short. They think that they're getting more done and they're just it's a state of confusion. It gets you nowhere.
Yeah. So that was the second part of your book, right? What's the first?
The second kick. There's 100 kicks in it. It's 100 separate theories and creative and blunt and bold advice on how to operate at your full potential, and being confident is a big part of that.
Can you give us some other kicks?
Yes. More than anything, you need to, you know, develop and challenge yourself. Like I said, I wrote in the book too. I recommend people to take auditioning and improv classes.
Improv's great. I think like everybody.
Yes.
Even non-actors or comedians.
Yeah. Yes. Everybody should. You learn so much about yourself. I learned more about myself. Well, I learned a lot about myself in improv and acting, playing different characters. One of my kicks is create yourself. And I'm a firm believer that we're all born with the same brain and opportunities and chances, and we were shaped by our experiences. If we reach a level of operating at high levels and free thinking, we're able to create the person whoever we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people are confused and thinking that they're born with a specific personality, or they can't get over their fears, or they're not able to be confident, when in fact, if you operate at you know, higher levels at your full potential, that you're able to be anybody that you witness.
Yeah. People can change a lot more than they give themselves credit for.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Everybody can. You like, change into anything you want. Your brain is so powerful. Nobody's limited. Everybody thinks that they're special and they have deficiencies and chemical imbalances, and you take care of yourself, you don't. You can be anyone you want to be. Yeah.
No, and you might not think it, but you can change that hat.
Oh no. Well, this one stays.
I heard a theory, is it called like elephant? It's about elephants and how they, in the circus, they're nailed to the ground by a chain. I forget what it's called, but they're...
The chain is probably nailed to the ground and wrapped around them.
Yes, the chain.
The elephants aren't nailed to the ground. Right. Like, they don't put nails to their feet, just to clarify, right?
Right,
okay,
correct.
Okay.
The elephants are crucified. No, the elephants are attached to a chain that's nailed to the ground as baby elephants. And then they become grown elephants, like a 1,000-pound elephant. They still think they cannot take the chain out of the ground. Or, let me back up. When they're babies, they're physically unable to get the chain out of the ground. And they become adults. They just assume, oh, I can't get this chain out.
Obviously, that's a really good analogy or metaphor.
Yeah, and well said by me, too.
Let's practice it a couple more times before you say it again.
It started with a crucified baby elephant.
It's crucified elephants.
It is a good one, though. I like that a lot. I like that a lot. Yeah, hell yeah. If we're taught that we're restricted and we can't do something when we're younger, and you know, there's people who are special and you're born with talent and gifts and all that bullshit. If that's what you're taught and you don't think you have that, you know, you'll if you don't learn for yourself and actually, you know, apply yourself and work your ass off to become good at something, you know, you're never going to understand that you can.
And oftentimes your friends are able to see it in you better than yourself. Like you can do that. Or like, for example, a lot of my friends have told me, like, I don't know why you're not like going around the country doing stand-up shows. And for a while I was down on myself. I was like, nah, nobody wants to see me. And I'm like, huh? What? But maybe I could. So I'm going
to
do it. No,
nobody wants to see anybody who doesn't put in the work,
I can headline,
man. You just have to work as hard as, you know, the guys who are doing it more than anything. You have to be committed. You got to be all in. And that's with anything. You got to work harder than the next guy. There's no secret. That's it.
Think about getting a job at Outback Steakhouse.
Okay. You can do it, man.
You think?
I think it'd suit you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I see it. I totally
that's why
see
I look
it.
My in the mirror every day and I go, why don't I work at Outback Steakhouse? I look
Fuck,
exactly
good
like
good job.
Outback
we're
has
about
those...
epiphanies here on this podcast.
They have those long aprons for the server aprons. My buddy used to work there and just have his dick out.
Wait, really?
What?
But behind the apron.
Holy shit.
Just serve
I don't
all
know
night.
About that. I worked at Red Lobster and Chi Chi's.
Yeah. Chi Chi's.
I had a bunch of serving jobs.
What's Chi Chi's?
A Mexican restaurant in Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
I did that before I joined the Air Force. I took a year off in between college and the Air Force.
Nice.
And went to like 8 different restaurants and got hired and fired 2 weeks later. Yeah. Go through all the fucking training, then I'm on the floor ready to make some money, and I get fired and I got to go to the next one and do it again.
Why were you getting fired?
Being drunk and hungover. I don't know. Stupid. Yeah, being a stupid kid.
Yeah. I have been fired before. What other weird odd jobs have you had?
I don't think anything tops gigoloing, but
that's true.
Let's see, I've done a lot of shit.
We've barely talked about gigoloing. Now you probably can't say, but have you had celebrity clients? You can't say who they are.
I've signed a couple non-disclosure agreements. Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And
who are they?
The biggest one actually didn't have me sign one, and he wore a mask.
No way.
The whole time?
He's booked a few of us. And I was told going into it who it was. And yeah, he's the biggest one. But
John Travolta.
a tattoo of his own name on his chest.
That obviously saying who this person would probably be the biggest mistake of my life. So
Yeah. Okay.
Brad Pitt. I'd fuck Brad Pitt.
Me too. I think everybody would. When you're in this field, do you have relationships of your own? Are you able to have a...
Yeah,
okay.
I'm... it hasn't hurt any relationships. I haven't had a committed girlfriend relationship in like 8 or 9 years.
Oh, okay.
With dating my clients, I kind of get my dating fix with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we do all the the normal date stuff. And, you know, I have extremely awesome and cool, and I've had some extremely attractive clients too. Mm-hmm. Some in the industry, strippers in Vegas and nice. Shit too. So I like my time when I'm not, you know, it's a lot of work and energy to be in a relationship and, you know, part-time, much less full-time. And I'm doing that a lot of the time. So when yeah. it's, when I'm not working, you know, it's got to be something pretty special.
Must
and
be pretty draining to give yourself so much. Like dating.
If you overdo it, when the show yeah. first came out, I overdid it. I took yeah. on way too many. I had a $80,000 month.
Whoa.
Wow. Sweet.
Yeah. So.
Can I have $1,000?
Sure.
That's on tape. Sick. You can't take it back. It's on tape.
I didn't say from who. But yeah, I way overdid it. I still only I see less than half my requests right now. I mean, it's been great. The show obviously was a huge promotion, and yeah. then with my book and music and everything else I do and PR and shit, it's,
awesome, dude.
I've gotten out there, so it's good.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I way overdid it in the beginning, and yeah, it drained me. It didn't make me a good human. It didn't make me good on bookings. I pride myself in being the elite and showing up at, you know, my full potential, and I don't do back-to-back bookings and back-to-back nights or anything like that. I usually only do about 3, maybe 4 a month, and I usually take a weekend to myself.
Cool.
And like I said earlier, it's only I'll do a 4-hour meet and greet with anybody one time, and then after that it's typically a minimum of 8 hours or a 24 or a weekend booking. And I do lots of weekends and week bookings.
Cool.
Just got back from a fucking amazing cruise to Alaska. Sweet. My main client and the closest person in my life. We went to Alaska together, and it was on my birthday, and it was 2 years ago now. And for a birthday present, she let me take a helicopter to the middle of a glacier and do some dog sledding. And
oh, sweet!
We went out on a crab boat, and we saw these. And they're feeding these eagles 10 feet away from us with these huge 8-foot wingspans. And
whoa, crazy.
Saw some melting glaciers. And
nice. Watch the world fall apart.
Yeah.
Some oiled up polar bears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you, when a client goes on a date with you, who is paying for the drinks? Is that their... It's prepaid
it
by
is
them?
It's in the notes that, yeah, they're responsible for everything. And okay. if I'm flying somewhere... They're responsible for the plane ticket, transportation, yeah, and all the food and drinks and stuff. I'll pick one up here and there.
Cool.
You know, or I usually take care of like tipping and small stuff too, just gotcha. So they don't have to worry about it. But
do they ever have any like fantasies? This isn't like a strong fantasy, but like, what if they want the man to pay for stuff? Do you ever like fake pay for the bill?
Sometimes
I'll get this.
Yeah, no. Sometimes they just give me cash and say you pay for everything.
Okay.
My main regular, she gave me a credit card that I use for everything, so I all do right. pay and sign for everything.
Okay.
As well.
Cool.
So
yeah.
I don't mind that.
That was a good question.
No, it is. It's that's a good funny, question, but it's a funny question. Is all. It's like I can't get off unless you pretend to pay for the bill.
What if you really want the guy to pay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as I've already proven,
most of the time they like it though. They like being in control and being in charge, and it's empowering.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a big thing that, you know, our show and doing this has helped women with that's empowering true. Them, and it's awesome to see. So yeah, usually they don't mind paying, but I don't mind either. So
what's the weirdest experience you've had in the gigolo world?
Well, all the weird ones are on the show. You know? Okay. like I said, it's real clients, but it's the ones who aren't as experienced in the world. Sometimes they're younger, they don't have as much money, they're not, and they usually have the weirdest fantasies, and obviously it worked well with the show. So, I mean, we did a bunch of goofy shit. The teddy bear scene was probably the most infamous.
Oh, yeah. Did someone dress up as a teddy
bear? Somebody had a furry.
All right, nice.
Fantasy.
Nice.
Hell yeah. Did you have to dress up as the furry or the bear?
I did
bear?
Not.
Okay,
did
they
not.
Did.
All
right. Nice.
Yeah. So... Originally, we were going to do this. I don't care anymore. I wrote this scene. I haven't said that yet. I wanted to... We were looking for a client who would dress up and do the furry thing. And we were going to do it with a new guy. And have the new guy dress up as a furry as well. And we were going to have him go at it. Then we were going to walk in the room and be like, ha-ha, got you. So that was going to be the setup. But then the guy... We arranged this. It was like season 3. I wrote this like season 1. Mm. And season 3 comes along and... the guy who was supposed to do this didn't pass his blood work. We had to get blood tested for the show for STDs because it's the situations. And he didn't pass his blood work. They called me up. They're like, so-and-so didn't pass his blood work. We know how much you want to do the scene. Will you do it? I'm like, fuck, I'll call you back. I call them back and I'm like, I'll pick up the key from the front desk. I'm not wearing the costume. Have her sitting on the bed and just trust me. They're like, okay.
Yeah.
So they film me walking in, getting the key. I walked in the room, looked at her. I'm like, fuck. And I just went with it. I went over there, made sure she was a girl. I made sure there was a chest there.
Yeah, yeah.
I had her cut a flap in the back. And yeah. And then it was a challenging scene with the suits. It was simulated. So I was pretending to hit it from the back and I'm like crying. It was funny though. It was one of our biggest ones and it made the soup. It was the number two soup clip of the year.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I knew it was gonna be a big one.
That's awesome. I just had a question in mind. Oh yeah. Do you have a number of how many women you've slept with?
I've been asked that a few times. Not super huge. I did a podcast with some ex-pimp and stripper whose numbers are ridiculous, and I calculated on it. I think I said 500, but recently talking to somebody, I don't think it's that high. I was trying to do the math too, and most of my regulars are repeat clients as well. So
gotcha.
It's not like I've had a million clients,
right,
or anything like that. And I mean, there's a couple of years once I developed my confidence, I had a stripping company before I was gigoloing. I told you guys I started that mail review and everything. I worked for him for about a year. Then I started my own company to cut out the middleman because he was taking $75 of the show fee, and I just wanted to have my own business and I wanted to do some of my own productions and shit too. So I started doing that, and the Abbey in West Hollywood, the infamous high-end gay bar, they contacted my company because they wanted straight strippers dancing there because their high-end clientele liked straight boys.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I booked that for 2.5 years, and that's when that was towards the, you know, the couple of years of when I was auditioning and acting and my confidence was really building, and I did a bunch of mail reviews. I did the mail review thing every Thursday for a year and hundreds of bachelorette parties. And I had a good run at the Abbey. Nice. A lot of the gay boys have, you know, some of the hottest girls in Hollywood coming in there, models and everything.
Cool.
And it seemed like I had my pick every time I was in there. So I had a good run there, but it's not like multiple ones a week, like maybe one a week or like a few a month.
Yeah.
So I don't have like staggering numbers. I never went for that. And soon after doing that, you know, I didn't spend that much time doing that either. It's where that's everybody, every kid's dream who hasn't really taught anything besides rap videos and you know, bullshit to sleep with as many women as possible. That's where you're going to find satisfaction. And, you don't. It does. It fucking burns you out.
Yeah.
And then I started looking for more quality. I've had a good run of quality girls. Luckily, I've met amazing girls, amazing girls, beautiful, intelligent. But it hasn't been staggering numbers. So I think it might be half of that actually, maybe 250, maybe 300.
Cool.
So nothing, no crazy numbers, no Wilt Chamberlain numbers.
Right. Nolan, you're a good boy. How many women have you slept with?
Three.
Three?
Yeah.
Damn, dude, get out there.
I'm
your wife,
yeah, I'm
son.
I'm done, too.
Yeah, man.
You playing a video game right now, dude?
Yeah, dude, Madden.
Madden.
On your phone.
No, not really. I'm watching Singletary highlights from last week. I made a big trade.
Oh, so rude.
Well, that's better.
I'm listening, too, though.
I thought I was boring for a second with the Madden, but if you're watching Singletary trade stuff, it's cool. I understand.
He listens to a million podcasts a day, but it's still very rude.
I'm playing. Just don't say that in there next time.
No, I was listening.
He's not playing.
Really
cut that out. We'll cut this out.
Yeah. No one's being hurtful. Do you want to talk more about your book?
We don't want to give it away. We hit on a lot.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a good read. I put a lot of work into it. Like I said, I had people coming to me who were struggling with confidence, anxiety, depression, addictions. I had a client once. You know, it really made me dig deep because I wanted to, if people are coming to me with this, I wanted to give the best advice possible. I had a client once tell me, within the first 10 minutes that she emptied her 401k, we're going to do 2 weekend bookings, and then she's going to kill herself.
Whoa.
Jesus.
And, yeah.
Making plans.
Yeah, that's, yeah. I had one who cut herself from here to here on both arms and wore all these bracelets to cover them up.
Fuck.
And long sleeves. So, you know, there's a range. You know, I'm dealing with some of the, you know, some of the most lost people out there. But then, you know, I also have, like I said, some, you know, some younger stripper escort type girls to, you know, very successful women who have their shit together too. So there's a range of clients.
Wow. But,
you know, a good about half are probably struggling with some issues such as depression or weight problems or something like that. So I mean, it really pushed me to get some fucking answers, and they're in there. It's a good book. Nothing but positive feedback. Bunch of reviews on Amazon, and you could get it on Amazon or a hard copy, which I had a couple in my car for you guys. If you want to walk out with me, I'll give you guys one.
Sure.
At my website, nickhawkexplicit.com. And I also talk about my book a lot, and everything in my book, I try to write truths, you know, not based upon, you know, much intuition and experimentation, but everything you can build upon. And I try to build upon all my kicks in my books on my social media too. So if you follow me on Instagram, or Twitter, or the Facebook at The Nick Hawk, I have a lot of good stuff in there as well. And you can follow me on my adventures around the world too.
Hell yeah. And the book is called Nick Hawk's 100 Kicks in the Ass, something, how to gain confidence.
A guide to gaining confidence and reaching your full potential.
Sweet. All right, well.
I have one last thing I want to say. If you ever were in, if you ever were in a porno, would it be called Nick Hawk's Big Cock?
Nick Hawk's Cock?
Nick Hawk's Big Cock.
I picked that name for a reason, because that word kind of lingers in there.
It's in there. Yeah.
I thought of that for some reason. I'm like, that's it. That's fucking it. No, I talked to, on one of the episodes, I went to Vivid and talked to Stephen Marshy Hurst about doing a porn. And they offered me a royalty on it too, which is pretty big. And
well, if you use that name, then send me some royalties as well.
I just I decided not to do that. I didn't think it would. Even if I made some money off of those, there's a little bit of a stigma with it, and I didn't think it'd benefit my gigoloing career or my music career, acting career, anything else too. So I decided not to do it at the time. But
well, if you do, you know what to call it. And by the way, great question. All right, dude. Well, thanks a lot for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Great guest, Nolan.
What up?
Go fuck yourself.
Hey, man.
All right. I'm sorry, Dad.
I'm sorry, Dad.
What do I say?
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Dad.